Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, my thanks to be invited back to Trinity Cathedral yet again. It's been 2.5 years, so I think a few things have changed. But always good to be invited back anywhere, and it was nice to be back with Marilyn to share in this congregation and share with this beloved community this good news in this place that we are. If you notice, Luke's parables are intensifying as Jesus sets his face and gets closer to Jerusalem in this journey. And if you listen to it, some of these sayings today, some of these parables could be taken straight from today's news stories we hear in the world. 10 lepers healed, yet only one was thankful. And that one was a double outcast because he was a Samaritan. The unjust judge, ruling over all without regard, and the faithful persistence of the unjustly treated widow. And then today's story, which could be an echo of leaders of today who some seem to think of themselves first and then. We cannot begin to see God's love surrounding us, looking only through clouded, humble-less glasses. There was a story of a bishop who made his practice to visit the cathedral as a time for prayer when he was there. He always noticed an elderly woman, fervent in prayer before the magnificent marble stone statue of Mary. As time passed, whatever time of the day he entered the cathedral, the woman was there before Mary. Hands folded, tears wetting her cheeks, deep in prayer and adoration of the Mother of our Lord. One day again, the bishop was walking through the cathedral with the long-serving dean. As he walked up the main aisle of the church, the bishop yet again saw the elderly woman kneeling before Mary. He said to the dean, "Look, what a devoted woman this is. No matter the time or day, she is before the Blessed Mother in prayer. What dedication to the faith." The old dean smiled, "May you not be deceived, Your Eminence. Many years ago, the sculptor needed a young woman to pose for the statue. Who he hired then is this old woman now. She is not a devout worshiper that you think. She is worshiping who she used to be." Things are not always as they seem to be. Jesus keeps telling us these stories that the point to this truth, that the first will be last and the last will be first, seems to be a consistent message of Jesus. There's a saying over my life, it's been a helpful anchor to me when I get a little out of order with God in my life. God is God. I am not. Thanks be to God. So it seems to me that God and Christ Jesus desire that we think about ourselves less, but never think less about ourselves. Now, by that, we know about Jesus, God and Jesus less. What we do is know about God and Jesus in our lives and through our lives more. Things are not always what they seem to be. We hear this yet again in Luke's story today. It seems the Pharisee has it all together in his righteous practices, while the tax collector, not so much. It becomes pretty clear that the greatest difference between the Pharisee and this tax collector was the object of their prayer. The first line gives away the Pharisees' intentions, as they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they regarded others with contempt. The Pharisee stood front and center, praying about himself, his pious practices, his good gift giving, his holiness, in comparison to anybody and everybody else. Seems the Pharisee knows about God, but in words alone. Then we meet the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." His prayer is from the heart, a heart that it knows God. Perhaps his words are barely audible, certainly not well crafted, grammatically precise like we often pray. Yet this seven-word prayer is filled with the heart, the soul, and the very being to his core of this man. So the core of the story seems to me to boil down to pride. The word and its accompanying meaning in our days certainly seems to have been diminished from its standing as the first of the seven deadly sins. For our slogans all proclaim, proud to be an American, proud to be a Cyclone or a Hawkeye. Well, maybe not a Cyclone so much at the moment. Proud to be an Anglican, proud to be. We can end any fill in the blank in any sentence of anything of our time. And we find the culture demands that we live more like the Pharisee, to get the best jobs, to get the money, make the most money, to be in the right, invited to the right places with the right people, and rise to the very top, and make sure everybody else knows about that too. From those self-centric ways, we instill this very character in many of our children. Be the best at any cost. Do not let anyone criticize you. You are not wrong. Your teacher or anyone else is in the wrong. And even if it is your fault, don't take responsibility. Sue the other person. Sounds a bit too familiar. But when we spend less time looking to God and Jesus, and more time looking down on our brothers and sisters, pride will come first. Humility rarely enters the conversation or our conscience. And we live from a place of knowing about God. That pride will destroy relationships. That pride will make us spiritually blind. That pride will lead us to looking down at others and not up to God's abundant grace and strength given to all. Both men prayed, but from different perspectives. The Pharisee's perspective was knowing about God, focused on his self-centric focus. We hear this made clear when he actually prays with himself, ticking off his holy accomplishments that he has done. Four times, when you reread the gospel, he repeats "I" in this prayer. His focus is not on God. His prayer is simply saying, "My will be done." But the tax collector, bowed and broken, says those seven simple words over and over and over again, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." No fanciful words. No pious chest pounding. Nothing filled with artificial righteousness in this prayer. He's open. He's honest. He's praying from a place of spiritual poverty by one who probably was no doubt materially wealthy. It's a prayer from one who knows God and knows God from a deep place of his heart and his soul, the core of being human, from which we derive humility. So the lesson for this day continues to remind us that God's work is often in reverse to what the world is doing. And what we need is to be turned upside down and right-sized up with God. For it seems to me that God and Jesus desire us to think about ourselves less, but never less about ourselves. And that we know about God less, and that we know about God and Jesus in and through our lives more. I know over my 30 years of ministry, when I've heard this parable, it's easy to assume this interpretation. Be like the tax collector, and soon too you will be able to say, "Thank God I am not like that Pharisee." There's the trap. For it's not a parable about winning God's love, who's in, who's out, who's the winner, who's the loser, those people. It's a story about two seemingly unlikely characters standing before God, and are really very much the same. They both need God's love and forgiveness. The difference is that one is open to receiving God's abundant love, and one is not. The tax collector comes to the temple knowing he needs God's love and mercy. He has done nothing to earn God's love. He's not deserving of it. He just needs it, and he asks for it. And he goes home, aware of that abundant love flowing down over both himself and also the Pharisee. But the Pharisee has put up an umbrella of self-fulfillment. He has cloaked himself with a bubble of self-sufficiency, and all of God's love that is raining down upon him just runs right off him. This is a parable about God's abundant love for us and for all, and about whether we're going to take off our raincoats and dance with and in that rain, or whether we're going to try to keep ourselves dry, distant, and unaffected. The thing I've come to embrace about Luke's Gospels and Luke's parables over these years is the fact that they are never about exclusion or exaltation versus damnation. They're all about invitation. The priest and the Levite have a chance to change their ways when they see the Samaritan help the injured person. The 9 lepers can turn around and be grateful and thankful to God for their healing like the one Samaritan. The judge can learn from that widow and be just and abundant to all. And the Pharisee can take off his raincoat and put down his umbrella and be filled with God's love and mercy. In the church, we practice accepting that love by greeting one another with the peace of the Lord in a few moments. We practice accepting that love by gathering around God's table and say, "We need this food." We practice by giving that love, praying for people we don't know, that they may know themselves bathed in the river and the rain of God's light, mercy, and healing. We practice giving that love by making our offerings of ourselves through our money, through our talents, through our gifts, through our time. We practice giving that love by going forth from this place, rejoicing in the power of that Spirit to love and serve the Lord out there with all of God's people. So it goes to saying, pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.